Welcome to the Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in sunny, beautiful, balmy Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends, on this Thursday afternoon. And, of course, if you've been listening to the Grace Hour for any time, you know that each and every Thursday we play a tape message from the former host of the Grace Hour, founder of the broadcast, Pastor Carl Stevens. And today will be no exception. We'll be playing a tape message from the archives of his ministry entitled Living in the Atmosphere of Healing. And again, that message fits beautifully into our theme this week, which is God sends his word to heal us. So stay tuned for Pastor Stevens' message coming up in just a couple of moments. And, of course, following his message, we will open the phone lines and begin to take your phone calls live on the air with your questions, comments, testimonies, your counseling needs, your prayer requests as well. We look forward to having you join us and hope that many of you will do just that. To join us, it's quite simple. Pick up a phone, dial one of the following numbers, toll-free in all of North America is 800-338-7060. Once again, the toll-free number, 800-338-7060, and the local number, 410-483-3700. And we'd like to welcome our local listeners here in the Baltimore area tuning into the Grace Hour on WRBS 1230. You can find that station on your AM dial, and we thank you for joining us for our Thursday broadcast, friends, and remind you that at the end of our half-hour broadcast here in the Baltimore area, if you can, find a way to join us live on the internet at gracehour.org. And then you can be with us for the full hour-long broadcast. And we'd like to welcome all of you that are listening live on the internet around the globe. And although we don't often hear from many of you from time to time in our interactions off outside of the Grace Hour, many of you tell us that you do tune in on a regular basis, and that means a lot to us here at the Grace Hour. So thanks so much for bringing that to our attention, and it's great to know that you're out there and you're listening. We would love it, of course, if you could participate, but we understand in many cases that may not be possible. But when it is, please know how welcome you are. And everyone else is listening and watching on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, and it's, again, wonderful privilege to be with you on this Thursday afternoon. Our theme this week, all week long in the Grace Hour, is God sends his word to heal. And Pastor Stevens' message, which we will get to right away, is entitled Living in the Atmosphere of Healing.
Jesus always went to where things were happening. He went up to Jerusalem because that's where people would be gathered together. At this particular feast, there were a lot of spirits releasing the atmosphere. I think if God could pull back the curtain and show us how people take on atmospheric spirits and the effect that they have on the mind, emotions, and body of man, we'd be shocked, amazed, and astonished. Over and over again, Satan wants to release his contestments. He wants to release what he thinks and what he wants to do against God through people, through their mental attitudes. And he will, if they will respond to his projections, through them hatch cockatrice eggs. Eggs that will produce their own particular derivation of life and be evident in the seed of their corruption and in their own formation against God and his truth. Jesus is going into an amazing place, which history tells us had all kinds of strange spirits at the feast. And that's why I related to that. History says that it was completely filled with strange atmospheric spirits which were bound and destined to perform for God in religious ceremony, who knew nothing of Jesus Christ, who one day would crucify him while they testified to believe in God, who believed they kept a law and missed the whole point of the character of love, which never once introduced grace and mercy to one another, even though they wanted in every detail to honor the letter of the scriptures and the knowledge of human works. This produced striving and straining and resentment and comparisons and divisions and party spirits. And Jesus would go into an atmosphere where all of these things, coupled with theories about the water and the angel as a part of healing at a certain season, was prevalent. He will go and notice the scene that is so beautifully set. There is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he'd been there a long time, in that case he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him and said, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another man steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, but Jesus had conveyed himself, a multitude being in that place. In this particular scene, I want you to picture in your mind Jesus traveling on the earth. Here's the Son of God with all of his power, with all of his dearity, with all of his compassion, with all of his heart of love, traveling into an area that was releasing many strange spirits, familiar spirits in the atmosphere. People were releasing him through religious assembly, doing what came naturally with their particular religious concept, never once being able to discern that God was on the earth in a man called Jesus, and he was there to the feast, and he should be the bread of life, and he would be the water to drink, and he would be the communion to break, and he would be the one to worship, and he would be the one that would fulfill the desire of their heart. And they would go through all the religious symbols and all the things that the feast revealed, and Jesus Christ would be in their midst, and they would not know him. And they would not recognize him. What they were doing was to relate to God with all the sincerity and all the purity of their own knowledge, with all the morality of their own ethics, with all the procedure of their own order. And they would come, and they would not know the God that they were supposedly relating to in the feast. And may I say tonight, with all the purity of God's truth, there are hundreds and thousands that carry on every day with religion and symbols, and they wouldn't even recognize Jesus Christ if he was in their midst. They wouldn't recognize a ministry of love and compassion and fruit because they're so wrapped up in their own human strategy, in their own religious concepts, in their own program for good within their own ranks. I think the mystery of iniquity, as it's revealed in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, is man didn't even know God when God died for man. Man didn't even recognize the words that fed the hungry multitude as being God in their midst. Man didn't even realize that the one that touched the leper was the one that would redeem their soul. They would blaspheme him. They would accredit his work to Satan. They would call him Beelzebub. They would do everything, including calling him the prince of devils. They would organize an attack to destroy his very effects, to take away his reputation, and to crucify him between two thieves on a cross, and nobody to speak of would even stand and identify himself with God. And it hasn't changed one single bit. There are very few people that will stand with the same Jesus Christ in the midst of his ministry today. They're too wrapped up with their own religion without ever discerning Jesus Christ. And Jesus came, and there were all kinds of impotent folks. And I know that in Matthew 14:14, the Bible says that he was moved with compassion. In Matthew 15:32, he looked with compassion upon the multitudes. And every single time, whether it be over a mountain in Luke 19:41 or at Lazarus' grave in John 11:35, Jesus Christ could be touched with needs. His heart would go out. The tears would come upon his face. And the needs of the multitudes would move Jesus Christ. He's just the same today as he was then. He'll be just the same tomorrow. And believe me, your need, whatever it is, will move Jesus Christ in our midst. Your need will move him because his heart is filled with love, with compassion, and with a desire to save and to heal and to restore and to reconcile and to release and to build up and to edify. And Jesus has never changed one moment because he is eternal love and all the characteristics of his person and with all the substance of his essence. And now he sees the multitude. The scene is beautiful. It's Bethesda, which means the house of mercy. Five porches, five always meaning grace, porches always meaning rest and relax. Jesus Christ has a scene where he's going to come in the midst of religious symbols, in the midst of religious confusion, in the midst of religious works. He's going to come with mercy. He's going to come to bring rest through grace. And then he sees a man who is confused about the troubling of the water by the angel at a certain time of year. The man has been sick and afflicted for 38 years. And 38 years stands for the children of Israel walking in the wilderness after they missed through Kadesh Barnea, Canaan, because they were right on the border of Canaan in just 2 years, also in 11 days. After that, 38 years they wandered in the wilderness of confusion and conflict until all that were parents died because of unbelief and because they wouldn't enter into faith rest. 38 years stands for living by a law that doesn't reveal life, living by works that does not express grace, living by a program without a person, living in an organization without an organism, living in religion without Christ. 38 years he couldn't walk. Jesus is moved. And may I say, whatever your circumstances and whatever your situation, Jesus Christ is moved. Your need moves him. He's moved literally, personally, now. And then he goes to the man. And he said, "Sir, what seems to be wrong?" And the man says, "An angel comes and troubles the water, and whosoever steps in is healed." But he said, "I have no man to put me in the water. And when I just get ready, somebody else steps in and gets the healing, and I'm left behind without mine." This man was looking specifically at men, because that's all he understood. That's all religion gave him, was a man. It didn't give him the Lord Jesus Christ. He was looking for his help to come from men instead of deriving his healing from Christ. He was looking for a system to be healed, for one way only to be healed. And this happens so many times in the midst of religious meetings today. But Jesus said, "Listen, I want to ask you a question. Will you be made whole?" And then Jesus said this, "Take up your bed and walk." I'd like to ask you a question. This man didn't know this was Christ. What was there about the words of Jesus that motivated his response? I'll tell you what I think. I believe with all my heart it was all grace, and God caused his response. It wasn't based upon knowing God, although that's certainly important. It wasn't based upon obedience, as some people continually testify for victory, although that's very important. But he was in a place where, with all of his infirmity and all of his weakness, he was available to hear a word from God, though he didn't understand God. He was available to respond, though he didn't understand why. And Jesus said, "Take up your bed that has been a provision for you for 38 years. You've been resting in that bed. It's been a natural provision. Take up your bed and start walking now." And the man, through the love and the voice and the word of God, instantly and immediately did it, and he was made whole. I wonder how many people that dare to respond to the word of God without challenging it, to the word of God without understanding it, to the word of God without rationalizing it, to the word of God without knowing any specifics about the mechanics of healing, dare to say, when Jesus Christ says, "Healing, I will heal thee," how many dare to say, "I will take up my natural provision and I'll accept my healing and believe the word of God," just like this man did years ago. And there he was walking with his bed in his hand. Jesus Christ had come and been a provision through the word, been a provision through love, been a provision through faith. And Jesus didn't even make him learn theology. He didn't teach him theology. He didn't teach him that he had to do something and know something and go through something. He just gave him an opportunity to respond to someone. And listen, Jesus Christ is so available for every single affliction, for every single emotional need, for every single marriage, for every single problem, for every single difficulty. The word of God comes to you and I and beautifully directs the voice of the Spirit into our souls and tells us how we can respond and receive our healing. The people gathered at the feast were angry. And notice what they said. They didn't say, "Are you really made whole?" They simply said, "Who told you to walk on the Sabbath?" I've learned this in the past few months. If this ministry has gone out and been used of God to have 52,000 in America make professions last year, it establishes new ministries in countries. It honors other ministries. It goes forward with what it's got, the best it can, to be available to Christ and to the world. But many people aren't interested in its fruit or its result. They're only interested in details of methods. You had no right to do it that way. They're not interested with tender compassion. They don't discern the amazing tenderness of God's heartbeat. Their only concern is, have you violated our religious ethics? Have you gone against our evangelical structure? Does anything about you repudiate our entire style of doing it? If so, we won't inspect your fruit. We'll tell you to change your method. The most beautiful thing is when Jesus Christ is present. He didn't come to destroy lives, and he didn't come to condemn, and he didn't come to leave a man in affliction. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He came that we can take up our bed that has held us as a natural provision, our rationalism, our emotional bondage in Adam, our religious fears, our guilt complexes, our incompatible marriages, our secret fears, our natural reservations to carry on with natural phenomena and natural provision. He came that we can take up that bed and trust in an ever-loving, supernatural, glorified, living Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit with the throne ministry of the Word of God imparted in the very habitation of our human sustenance, in our very human response to a divine initiation. If you and I was to consider the healings of God today in the world, if we were to consider how many marriages he has reconciled, if we were to consider how many people that he has taken off drugs and off liquor and off adultery and fornication and lying and exaggerations and all that goes with covetousness and sin, we would begin to sob and love him and worship him and praise him and realize that Jesus Christ comes to save, to heal, to deliver, to love, to restore, to reconcile, to build up, to edify, to knit, to bring back people to God, not only just in reconciliation, but to live in the healing atmosphere of the Word of God through faith and a fellowship of light and life and love through the personal presence of a glorified Christ living in man. No wonder that the Word of God says in Colossians 3:11 that Christ is all in all. This man who had the affliction was looking for a man, but we look unto Jesus Christ. No wonder that in Matthew 17, on the Mount of Transfiguration, after Moses and Elijah was taken up, when they appeared, that the disciples saw Jesus only. No wonder in Luke 4:20, when he was preaching in the synagogue, that eyes were on Christ only. No wonder that over and over again, the man in the Greeks in John 12:21 said, "Sir, we would see Jesus," over and over again, magnifying Jesus Christ, loving Jesus Christ, seeking Jesus Christ brings not only forgiveness, but it brings power. Not only a new relationship, but a new fellowship. Not only a new hope, but a new faith. Not only a new opportunity, but a new life. It brings man into the very room of expectation as he lives in the substance of the Word of God and lives in the presence of an ever-revealing Christ who loves, who as sin abounds, allows grace to abound more, who has mercy, rejoice against judgment, and love that never fails. And this is the Christ that is presented to you and I by the Holy Spirit tonight. Do you have to leave without knowing him personally? Do you have to go out with your affliction as you came in? Can you be delivered and can you be healed and can you be restored? Yes, because the immutable love of God still wants to do the same, and he's here to reveal himself in the most intense way. And all we have to do is say, "Lord, thank you. Thank you. I understand it by faith, and I receive it."
Well, there's the conclusion, friends, of today's message, a great message from Pastor Stevens entitled, "Live in the Atmosphere of Healing." And what a powerful statement. What was it about that man who received his healing after being in that condition for 38 years? Pastor Stevens said it was God's grace. That's what made it possible. What a great statement. What a great message. And we hope that you would like to share your thoughts about what you just heard with us here at the Grace Hour. The phone lines are now open. A great opportunity for you to, again, join us live and participate in the broadcast. That's the great privilege, of course, of the Grace Hour. It's two-way talk radio. It gives you a chance to express your thoughts and ask your questions, maybe share your testimony, and, of course, your prayer requests, and we get to respond back to you. So, again, if you are able to, get to your phones, dial one of these numbers, and join us live on the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. The toll-free number in North America is 800-338-7060. That is the toll-free number. And if you are anywhere in North America, Canada, United States, give us a call on that toll-free number. Locally, Baltimore, 410-483-3700. And if you're going to join us from overseas, outside of North America, you too would dial, of course, the country code in 410-483-3700. And a number of you have shared your thoughts with us already on Facebook Live and YouTube Live. Keep those comments and questions coming through that platform. And again, those phone lines are open. Pastor Jason Moores joined me in the studio. We were able to sit in the studio today and listen to that message along with our folks at our Grace Hour family and friends. And boy, it was a good one.
Yeah, timeless words. And to think that God still heals, amen?
Yeah.
Healing is today. And just hearing these words, I love that story. And maybe today you're stuck. Maybe something in your life has kind of ensnared you. And it all changes when Jesus walks by. It all changes. Grace changes everything. And to give us great hope today, knowing that He can do the impossible work as we walk with Him by faith, moment by moment. Great word.
Amen. Well, we have a lot to talk about this whole theme this week, God sending His Word to heal. Well, there's so much we can say about it. We have been talking about it. We're going to continue to do that in our studio as we move into the second half hour today. So stay with us if you're able to, and join us if that's possible, and by dialing one of those telephone numbers, and we'll give them to you throughout the broadcast as well. We do have our first caller waiting. We'll get to her once we sign off here locally on WRBS. And thank you, folks, for joining us. And again, if you can transition over to the internet, you can find us at gracehour.org for the next half hour. And back with you live at gracehour.org, Facebook Live, YouTube Live. Another half hour, friends. And the second half hour of our broadcast, we always want to devote to our listeners and give you the chance to join us. So we will, of course, continue the discussion live in our studio. But when your calls come in, we'll get to those right away. We promise you that. So Suzette is joining us first live on the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. And welcome, Suzette.
Hey, Pastor. Hi, everyone. You know, I only got to, you know, hear the last part, you know, Pastor's message, but how liberating and freeing, you know, it is us to know, you know, that we are and can be set free, you know, from any manner of sickness. And made me think about how, how, you know, the Lord is just is in that business. And I was just thinking about how many people who I've seen transformed, like, you know, almost before my eyes, like, you know, in terms of have seen people who had the yoke of bondage snapped, you know, that freed them from drug addiction or alcoholism, and, you know, also, you know, physical healing, you know, and having experienced that many, multiple times in my own life, you know, but, yeah, it's just something to be able to just see God's glory, you know, when someone is set free, and especially when they're set free unto salvation.
Amen. And it's encouraging to know that that has happened, and it is happening, and it can continue to happen. Because the healing, isn't it true, Suzette, the healing so often... well, I've heard people even say this, that God used to heal people, but not any longer. That was only something that he did when he began his earthly ministry and revealed the credentials, his credentials as Israel's long-awaited Messiah. But, you know, God still answers prayers. And I'm not suggesting that everyone that is sick will be healed. In fact, when Jesus walked on the earth, was every person healed? The answer to that question is no. But he did heal. He can heal. But sometimes, well, we read about it. Lazarus's sickness, Jesus said, was for the glory of God. The blind man in John chapter 9, he was blind so that God could be glorified. So for someone to say, you know, God doesn't heal because I was sick and I wasn't healed, it's just simply not the case. God is, in his sovereignty, so much greater than what we think he has to do under certain circumstances or within a certain time frame, and he doesn't do it, so we conclude he doesn't operate that way. We just can't put God in a box, can we?
Absolutely. I think, again, we can drown in our concepts of God and really limit him. And I see that with you in so many areas. And I love this message because it's so clear that really healing is a gift from God in his sovereignty based on the grace of God. And some different denominations, they believe that if you're not healed, there's something wrong with you. And again, that's not a clear understanding of the character and nature of God, because oftentimes we suffer for others. We suffer to demonstrate patience or long-suffering or faith. And I think of many people in our, even in our own church, that they suffer well, and they have the attention of heaven as they mix faith, and I think sometimes it's the most amazing, Pastor Love, that suffer.
I totally agree with you, and if it, well, when God allows suffering in the lives of his children, we also realize along with that is the sufficiency of his grace. Paul suffered. We know that he suffered. He wrote about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he begged God, at least on three occasions that he tells us about, to remove this thorn in the flesh. And the answer from God, frankly, was no, but I'm going to give you more grace. My grace is going to be sufficient for you. My strength will be made perfect in your weakness. And I think that we need to remember that. We need to know that. And again, why does he allow that? Well, he's developing us and our trust in him. And then he's going to use what we experience and what we go through so that we are able to have a ministry of comfort, hope, encouragement, and consolation to others.
Yeah, one pastor recently said it like this. He said that God is retooling us. And I like that, because some, you know, the sharpening of the point keeps us effective. But sometimes he needs to add more tools so that we're effective in this this ever changing warfare. You know, what's interesting in Joel chapter 2, you know, I've been thinking about the pattern, just the pattern that God has illustrated in Hebrews 8:5 and in many places that we see in the Old Testament when they were building the temple. But, you know, again, we understand that there's undeserved suffering, and then there is, of course, suffering from wrong decisions and consequences to bad decisions. And when you think about healing and the pattern of healing, you know, Joel chapter 2 is an excellent chapter. Not going to read the whole thing, but chapter 2, 12 through 17, it talks about the call to repentance and how beautiful that is. Maybe someone is stuck in a personal sin, or maybe they're in a cycle of just bad thinking, and God is saying, enter my pattern, enter my order, and then the order releases the healing. The order releases the authority. His order releases his provision. And if you read Joel chapter 2, 12 through 17, you can just see how God is saying, Turn to me with all of your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Render your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of kindness. He relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave blessings behind him? And he goes into these different grain offerings. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children. And then look at verse 17, very interesting, a verse that I haven't thought of in a while. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O God. Think about that, weeping between the porch and the altar, like porch being a place of leisure, the altar being a place of ministry, a sacrifice, worship. And as men and women of God, we are weeping for the people of God as they go through difficulties. You know, I think of maybe people suffering from COVID or the miraculous touch that we see from people recovering from COVID. What was that? That was a weeping, a care, a tremendous travailing in this journey to healing. Maybe there's healing in the moment, like this man, 38 years. That's a long time to wait for his healing. And then when Jesus passed by, he asks that amazing question, what will you have me do for you? And this weeping as a church, I think that's the care that we have for our communities and for our nation and for our world, is that someone else's tribulation is deeply affecting us. There's an anguish. And then we come to God for that person in proxy, but also we help direct them to the God who heals. And maybe it's a progressive healing. Maybe it's a momentary healing. Maybe it's a permanent healing when they're taken home. And but to weep between the porch and the altar, this is a very powerful thought that I think complements what we're talking about today.
Amen, indeed. Here are the phone numbers, friends, for you to join us. We hope that many of you will do just that. 800-338-7060. That is toll-free in all of North America. And right here in the greater Baltimore area, it's 410-483-3700. Julie has written to us. She says, I've had disabilities for over 20 years, yet I have peace. That's because of God's grace. How else could I stand the weakness and pain? Years ago, I watched and listened to Johnny Erickson's testimony. She made an incredible testimony of God's power. She was asked, how did you get your life together? And she said, I would rather be in a wheelchair knowing God rather than walking and not knowing him. Well, that's a great testimony, Julie, and I'm sure that that is so consistent with what you've done and experienced in your life with your disabilities as well. So we thank you for sharing that. And Christian has written to us and says, Pastor Stevens used to talk about, quote, yes, God's bulldozer, yes, end quote, to take away our dependence on the natural and create more dependence upon God. I think it's good imagery on suffering in one way. He's right. Yeah, I remember God's, yes, bulldozer. And you know, when I read his comment, it made me think that Paul said that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. I mean, he talked about being beyond strength in so much that we thought that we were going to perish. Verse 8. Then in verse 9, he says, and we had the sentence of death in ourselves. And then he tells us why, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So this is his way of saying this suffering created a capacity within us to trust in God rather than ourselves. And ask yourself, just like Christian shared with us, or I'm sorry, Julie shared with us, ask yourself this question. If all suffering were eliminated from my life, maybe I would trust in myself. But am I willing to allow suffering to have a place in my life if that's going to result in my trusting in God? I mean, this is an important question, one that we all have to ask ourselves, because nobody enjoys suffering. I mean, we don't, you know, pray for it or look forward to experiencing it, but when it happens, we just acknowledge the fact that it God has allowed it, and I've got to glean from this suffering and get out of it all that God wants me to get out of it. Because if it's going to create a deeper sense of trust in God, I'm all for it. And if it's going to remove me from trusting in myself, because I don't even think we can begin to fathom how much of an ability we possess to trust in ourselves rather than God. Because if we could do it all ourselves, we would. It's almost like people that you meet today that are unsaved. What are they trying to do most of their lives? Trying to save themselves. They're living good lives. They want to be righteous. They want to be upright. They want to live acceptable, moral lives because they essentially are trying to save themselves. We got to get to the end of that and say, I can't do that. And if I'm going to be saved, it's going to have to be God who saves me. Well, callers are coming in all the way from the West Coast. Oh. Pastor Tom Chung is joining us live in the Grace Hour. Pastor Tom, welcome.
Hey, good afternoon, Pastor Love and Pastor Jason. Really enjoyed today's message. And, you know, I was thinking that, you know, people are trying to search for the cure. You know, a lot of people who are either sick with COVID or want to prevent the disease or for any kind of ailment or situation, they want that cure. But I'll just kind of point out that, you know, it's possible for you to be cured of your disease or be healed, but still not be healed in your heart. Mm-hmm. And the example being the 10 lepers in Luke 17, where Jesus healed them, but there was one that came back. One that came back, and then when Jesus talked to that leper, he's like, where's the other nine? I thought there were 10, right? But he tells the one, your faith made you whole. And isn't that so true? I mean, because you can be healed. Yes, medicine can heal you or whatever. But only Jesus can really heal your heart. Mm. And that is done through your faith. And that's the example that Pastor Stevens mentioned too. You know, it's kind of like, yes, I'll go in. And it was his faith that healed him.
Wow, that's beautiful. Because when you stop and think about the other nine, as you said, physically, they were cleansed of their leprosy. But what about their lives? Mm. Were they really made whole? Were they really given purpose? Would their lives have been completely different had they returned, as did the one Samaritan, and acknowledged the fact that, yes, Jesus heals me. And he wants to do so much more than just heal me physically. He wants to heal my mind, my emotions, my will, my conscious and unconscious mind. So it's such a great thought. Thanks so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call and think of you often and praying for your ministry out there in the West Coast.
Thank you. Yeah, we missed you guys, though. And we really enjoyed all the broadcasts, though. Thank you.
Thanks for giving us a call. Great to hear from you. Back to the phones. Let's take Eric's call next. In the meantime, you can join us, friends, at 800-338-7060. That's toll-free in all of North America. And right here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. Eric, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Love. Pastor Jason, what a platform to glorify God with. And I have a little testimony, maybe regarding spiritual warfare. I've been monitoring a particular individual with that suspect of having this China virus, and they were jolly, happy, and moving along, and there was some trouble getting the test done, but once. And I happened to be with the individual when they got the word about whether they were positive or negative. Now, there's been some anticipation, you know, what is the verdict, you know, but I just said, you're going to be fine. Don't worry about it. It's your look. How do you feel right now? I mean, you feel good, right? you know, yeah, I got a little cough. I said, well, then you're going to be fine. So the phone call came, and the results were positive. And boy, did that word change everything. Here's the warfare issue. I even sensed symptoms by that spoken word.
Mm.
And I just resisted that. I said, I'm going to resist. That's not happening. Nope. If that is atmospheric, if that's an atmospheric spirit that is contaminating me, I just reject it. I just outright reject it. My confession is that God promised not to suffer me for the diseases that he puts on Egypt. And he's pleased with my faith. And I'm going to confess that in spite of these symptoms. So, you know, and I, of course, asked God for wisdom and, you know, I took appropriate measures and such, but I'm much better. I'm much better. But the individual is sicker than a dog.
Mm.
All because he believes he's sick.
Mm.
He believed it. And I said, well, okay, not saying that you don't have it. Not, you know. But,
sure.
How healthy is our mind?
Yeah, that's a great question. And again, we're not, you know, we're not talking about mind over a physician's declaration or mind over a test, whether, as you said, whether it be positive or negative. That's not the point. The point is to have a mind that stayed on Christ results in perfect peace, even if you're sick, with the belief and the faith in God that you will get better.
You see, that's the thing, Pastor Love. I was fine until I heard that.
Uh-huh.
When I heard positive, I said, oh, my God.
Yeah.
That means I have it. If I've been in contact with this, that means I have it. Oh, no. Oh, and I started wavering. Oh, my, that's not good. I don't want that. And it took, you know, sent me reeling back on my spiritual feet for a few minutes, you know, to say, whoa, okay, oh boy, you know, and especially if those symptoms just start to develop in your body, the fatigue, the sneezing, the this, the that, you know.
Sure.
It can be a real challenge or a test to your faith. And I thought, you know, I could accept this, but I'm not going down on the first round. Not going down on a third round either. You know?
Yeah, yeah. You know, we are by no stretch of the imagination medical professionals, but the indication that I'm picking up about this virus at this stage is that, yes, it is very contagious and it spreads very quickly. We're talking about the Omicron variant, but the symptoms are flu-like symptoms. Now,
yeah.
And I'm not suggesting that if anybody has a pre-existing condition or they have other health issues, they need to be very careful, no question about it. But on the other hand, it seems as if you don't have those pre-existing conditions, if you contract this virus, you're going to get over it in a matter of a few days. And, yeah, you might be uncomfortable, although many are testing positive and saying, completely asymptomatic, no symptoms whatsoever. So, again, I'm thinking, and again, not a medical professional, but I'm thinking that this virus is weakening and that we may be moving into the final stages of it. I guess that's the way I'm thinking based upon the information that we're listening to and getting from the medical profession. At the same time, it's what I want to believe and am hoping for.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. The symptoms are very real.
Yeah.
There's no, and I'm not downplaying that, but when the very instant there was an atmospheric spirit, and this, I guess, is for spiritually discerning, believers that are engaged in warfare, that believe that the whole armor of God is for our benefit.
Yeah.
And if we're discerning of the spirits, then if we appropriate that, just maybe God would be pleased with that and take our side in the battle,
yeah,
and favor us.
Amen. Well, when you have that attitude of faith, you know right there God is pleased with you.
Hmm.
Even regardless of your condition, even if the doctor tells you, and it's the truth, that your body is riddled with cancer and you don't have long to live, you can still have a mental attitude of faith and trust God, and it may be your final days. But as Pastor Jason said a few moments ago, you're going to be healed in the greatest possible way imaginable. You're going into the presence of God, and you're going to get a brand new body.
Yeah, I think, Eric, I think I like what you're saying. You're putting on the armor of light. And the word of God is your shield, and you're addressing the kingdom issue. No matter what the result, you're addressing the kingdom behind the issue. So, I mean, so many of us get caught up with the symptom, but you address the kingdom. So the armor of light, so important in these days of darkness.
Eric, thanks. We've got to move on. Got a bunch of callers waiting. Thank you for your thoughts. Let's go to Pastor Perkins next. He's out in Las Vegas, Nevada. At least I believe that's where he's contacting us from. Pastor Perkins, welcome.
Hey, I hope I don't take much time, but I just got a few statements and then a question.
Sure.
If it's not too bad. I want to try to be like George because he's always so positive. I always love to hear him. So I want to try to be positive about this.
Okay.
Just kidding. That testimony this morning and what by Pastor Carl and I don't know who that was that had COVID was
Daniel.
Amazing.
Yes,
that
Daniel.
Was amazing, mm-hmm. The power of prayer. I mean, I was just blown away by that. And I was thinking about Pastor Love, your message on Sunday about this. I caught some of it, the sovereignty of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a guy in our church that he's in college, and when he goes home, he goes to a church there in Cleveland, I think it is. And he said there's one of the worship leaders says this all the time, like, you need a job, God will do it. You need a baby, if you're you want to get pregnant, God will do it. If you need a wife or a husband, God will do it. If you need, you know, money, God will do it. And it kind of bothers him, And he asked me about it, and I just I wasn't sure. I thought about the sovereignty of God, and like how God sometimes didn't answer prayer. How that for instance, how that he kind of went outside of the boundaries. Like Jacob, I was thinking of like Jacob and Esau, how Jacob stole the birthright. How that God fed Elijah with ravens. Which were under the law, dirty. I was just thinking of a few things, like healing on Sabbath day, like what happened to Job. Like Job was, stricken, and it kind of like God can do whatever he wants to do,
mm-hmm. Yes,
doesn't,
indeed.
The guy told me, he says, I feel like kind of guilt, it's like guilting people. If God doesn't answer, then there's something wrong, or it just seemed like, it's like a what do you call it? Like some way to get something from God, And so I was just thinking about it. Also, like Lazarus, God didn't go right away and Jesus didn't go right away and heal Lazarus.
That's right.
He waited 4 days.
That's right.
So I loved your message, like on the sovereignty of God. There's a mystery there that we don't really understand.
Mm-hmm.
And, we've had people, we prayed and prayed and prayed for people, and yet we've had, people die from COVID,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And God, for some reason, it didn't change. And then we had a guy here we prayed for, and he recovered,
Sure. Yeah.
So I hoping you could maybe address that a little bit, and then I'll hang up, and maybe Pastor Jason, if you could give me a call after sometime, please.
Sure.
Awesome. Thanks, Pastor Perkins. Great thoughts. Yeah, I think what he's saying, what Pastor Perkins is saying, is that we can't, who can know the mind of God? Who is his counselor? We're convinced that we believe, we know how God's going to do this or how he's going to do that, but oftentimes we're we're mistaken, we're wrong. Sometimes we look at how he operates in another person's life and assume that he must do the same thing in my life. But it doesn't work that way. He is a sovereign God. And I think the danger is we put him in our theological box and we expect him to operate a certain way. And when he doesn't, you could easily get discouraged. But you've got to give God the privilege of being sovereign, recognizing it, and giving him the freedom to be the God that he is.
Yeah, I think you said it in one word, mystery. Yeah. There's the mystery of godliness. And one writer said it like this: if we could understand God, then he would not be worthy of our worship.
Mm.
So, and this is where we are kept in the right perspective as a worshiper, as one that is humbly bowing down, and God is saying, I will do what I do for my glory and for your, and for you to be conformed to the image of God. And this is not a popular thought today.
No.
It is absolutely not.
No.
But it's the deeper life, and we can worship him and beyond what we understand. And who's to say we're supposed to understand God? I mean, look at the book of Job. I mean, over and over. And of course, we, you know, just when we think we know what God's doing, he changes it up because he wants us to not be self-reliant, but he wants us to be dependent on him.
Yeah, and he really wants us to, as one of our callers earlier mentioned, exercise that faith, that trust, because so often we can find ourselves saying to God, look, I don't understand why this is happening in my life or why it was allowed to even happen in my life, but I am going to trust you. And I'm going to believe that it's going to be used to conform me into the image of your son. And again, if it reaches me, I need it. It's like we mentioned the other day that when, you know, the first words, I think it was, C.S. Lewis, he said, the first words we will probably speak when we enter into heaven are the words, of course, because we'll understand then why God did what he did, why he allowed what he allowed. And that's going to be, yeah, I'm not going to be surprised. We're going to get there, see the big picture, see the way God sees it, and say, of course.
And I think we can get into trouble if we try to explain God. That's not our job.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to lift up his word and to glorify him and who he is. And who is he to understand?
Yeah.
An infinite God. It's quite amazing.
And when it's all said and done, we will acknowledge, as the scripture says, he does all things well.
Perfect.
And according to his own purpose. Oh, Jenny, we apologize. We didn't have time. Pastor Duke and others, we didn't get to your calls. We simply ran out of time, but we still have another program coming up tomorrow, the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. So please call us back then. Thanks for joining us, friends. God bless you until tomorrow at the same time.
Thanks for listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.